other day, I met a girl named Joy. She said, come here, I'm gonna make you my joy boy.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, The Independent, New York Times, Rolling Stone, BGORecords.com, and Entertainment Weekly.
Well, she took me for a ride, sort of a joy ride.
This opening is brought to us by Nielsen, and it's called Joy. Today's featured genre of music is country rock, southern rock. So we'll be hearing more about and from country rock singers and songs later on in today's program, and we'll close it out that way as well. What an influence this type of music has had throughout the world and throughout time, but especially on rock and roll.
Then you haven't got a question. And if you never had a question, then you'd never have a problem. But if you never had a problem, well, everyone would be happy. But if everyone was happy, there'd never be a love song.
Don't you love that country logic? Nice and clear. Our trivia questions come to us today from www.allenskitchen.com. Question number one. Rock music's origins lie mostly in the music of Southerners and many stars from the first wave of 50s rock and roll, such as Elvis, Little Richard, Bo Diddley, and Jerry Lee Lewis hailed from the Deep South. Country rock has had a profound impact on almost all types of music, even heavy metal rock. The lead singer of AC/DC, Bon Scott, for example, wears rebel flag belt buckles at his concerts. So where does the heavy metal rock band AC/DC come from? Is it A, Texas, B, Alabama, C, California, D, Scotland, or E, Australia? And question number two, John Fogerty is a member of one of the best-known southern rock bands. What's the name of Fogerty's band, and where are they from? Hint, here's a snippet from one of that band's tunes from 1970. Hear the accent? Who'll stop the rain? The transition section of today's program, Today in Rock History, is brought to us once again by BGORecords.com. And today is the weekend of January 22 and 23. What were the number one hits this weekend? Well, back in 1965, it was Petula Clark with Downtown at number one this weekend. And it was Don's Knock Three Times at number one 40 years ago this weekend. Back in 1972, Don McLean, American Pie, at number one this weekend. In 77, it was Stevie Wonder with I Wish at number one this weekend. In 1994, it was Brian Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting, all three of them singing together for All for Love at number one this weekend. If you were born on January 22, you share a B-Day with Sam Cooke, You Send Me. He was born on that day, January 22, 1935. Steve Perry of Journey, born on that day back in 1953. And Steve Adler of Guns N' Roses, born on January 22, 1965. Or, if you were born on January 23rd, you share a birthday with Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters. She was born on January 23rd, 1948. Also born on January 23rd, but this time 1950, Pat Simmons of the Doobie Brothers and Bill Cunningham of the Box Tops, also born on January 23rd that same year, 1950. Miscellany in rock history this weekend. Well, back in 1889, you may not remember, Columbia Phonograph Company, to be CBS, forms in Washington. And back in 1960, Sam Cooke signs with RCA Victor, and it was 45 years ago this weekend that Nancy Sinatra leased "These Boots Are Made for Walking." And finally, 40 years ago this weekend, Elton John debuts on the chart with "Your Song."
Is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in the world how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Your Song, Elton John, his first break into the charts. In local rock news, we see this keeping with the emphasis in today's program on country rock, a review of a concert that was held in Wisconsin and published in www.volume1.org/magazine. Megaphone is perhaps best known these days, at least in Wisconsin, as the Bon Iverless part of former band De Yarmen Edison. That does these gentlemen a great disservice. Their mix of rollicking Appalachian folk, thunderous stomps, and experimental sounds are both exhilarating and thought-provoking. There is a depth to their fun, a method in their explosiveness. Rounding out the bill is fellow North Carolina group, and a fairly big one at that, the Rosebuds from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ivan Howard and Kelly Crisp, who formed the band in college, play something like 50 billion instruments. Well, maybe not 50 billion. And here we have a selection from Megaphone, The Fade. This next article comes to us from the Wall Street Journal, published on January 13, 2011, by Jim Facilli, entitled, "Allman's Latest Blues Were a Source of Hope." Here, along the Georgia colonial coast, Greg Allman has a comfortable house on a verdant, sweet-scented stretch of land, with classic cars and motorcycles in the garage, and a tree-lined open road not far from his front door. He enjoys the comforts of family, too. When we met last month, his late brother Dwayne's daughter, Galadriel, was there for a visit. And now his health has returned. Mr. Allman, 63 years old, underwent liver transplant surgery in June. As we spoke, with his tattooed arm resting on a piano in his living room and two tiny dogs flitting about, he was preparing for a solo tour to promote his standards as well as songs from his new album, Low Country Blues, out by Rounder. That's coming out on January the 18th, 2011. This was produced by T-Bone Burnett. Low Country Blues was completed before Mr. Allman's operation, but was not meant as a last will and testament. There's nothing like the feeling of having something in front of you, something to look forward to, knowing it might be your best, Mr. Allman said. It helped me heal. On Low Country Blues, Mr. Allman pays homage to the blues giants who influenced his music as a solo artist and as a member of the Allman Brothers Band. Article skips down. Mr. Allman's smoky, honky, thick voice is the centerpiece, of course, and on his covers of Bobby Blues Bland's Boisterous Blind Man and his Otis Rush's Checking on My Baby, he reveals it's still a powerfully evocative instrument, if not quite what it was when the Allman Brothers became an international phenomena in the early 1970s. Mr. Allman has earned his stripes as a blues man. He lost his only brother, Dwayne, in 1971, and their friend and bassist, Barry Oakley, a year later. Behind the dual guitars of Warren Haynes and Derek Trucks, the Allmans today are as strong a band as they've been since Dwayne died. But they suffered down the years, as has Mr. Allman during his solo career. He's been married at least 6 times, a journalist recently asked if Cher still drops by. They've been divorced for more than 30 years. And is 3 times a grandfather. Drugs and alcohol no doubt caused him damage, and he was diagnosed with hepatitis C 3 years before his transplant. Mr. Allman said Mr. Burnett kicked off the project by turning over a collection of blues chestnuts for his review, including early folk blues by Sleepy John Estes and Skip James. As he studied the original versions to see how he could arrange and sing them, Mr. Allman said he found that they affected him deeply. Article skips down and ends with this. Mr. Allman is on the road now with his Whip Snap 6-piece band. In March, he'll reunite with the Allman Brothers Band for its annual residency at New York's Beacon Theater, with 13 shows on tap beginning March the 10th. If it sounds like what he's done for decades, it's not. With the surgery behind him and low country blues under his belt, he's at a new phase in his career, one that he welcomes. I love change, he said, then added quickly, I mean, I'm just as scared of change as anybody else, but it is essential. So what do you know about today's featured genre, country rock or southern rocks? Well, it's rooted not only in black blues from the South, but also something that eventually became rockabilly. And according to this article, www.historyofrock.com, rockabilly is a brash, lively, unself-conscious hybrid of blues and country that became rock and roll. It came from Sam Phillips' Sun Studios in Memphis, where Phillips recorded small band, slapping string bass, twanging lead guitar, acoustic rhythm guitar with plenty of echo, while singers made astonishing yelps, gulps, hiccups, and stutters as they sang about girls, cars, slacks, and even little green men from outer space. The original rockabilly style ended with the 50s. According to Carl Perkins, we shook the devil loose, we bopped those blues, it's up-tempo, it's rhythm, you ain't sitting there worrying about car payments or house notes, they're out there shaking dust loose on the honky-tonk floors.
Sweet kid 16, they got the grown-up blues, I can dress up in lipstick, smoke high heel shoes.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Sam Phillips was a white man who genuinely loved black music, and in 1950, he opened the Memphis recording studio. There, blues legends B.B. King, Howlin' Wolf, and Elmore James made some of their first recordings. After first leasing recordings to other labels, Phillips began his own label, Sun Records, in 1952. Phillips often said, "If I could only find a white man who had the Negro sound and the Negro feel, I could make $1 million." And guess what?
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
July 5th, 1954 was a warm summer night in Memphis, Tennessee. Elvis Presley, Scotty Moore, and Bill Black were recording that night at the Sun Records. According to Scotty Moore, "We were taking a break. I don't know. We were having Cokes and coffee, and all of a sudden Elvis was singing a song, jumping around, acting the fool. And then Bill picked up the bass. He began acting the fool, too. And, you know, I started playing with them. Sam had the door to the control room open. I don't know. He was either editing some tape or doing something. And he stuck his head out and said, 'What are you doing?' And we said, 'We don't know. We'll back up,' he said. 'Try to find a place to start and do it again.'" Rockabilly was invented that night in Memphis. Its rough southern edges were an exciting contrast to the group-oriented rhythm and blues produced in the northern cities. Fading from the scene by the late 1950s, rockabilly for many remained the purest form of rock and roll. Though it only lasted a few brief years, it provided a crucial sound, image, and rebellious spirit for rock's initial wave. We were young, you know. We didn't really know what we were doing, but I'll tell you, buddy, we really did something. That was written by Charlie Feathers. Besides Elvis, we also see this article including such people as Jerry Lee Lewis, Roy Orbison, Johnny Cash, Charlie Rich, Ricky Nelson, Eddie Cochran, and Gene Vincent. We must not forget Brenda Lee, the Everly Brothers, and so on as well. So these artists and their music in turn influenced the development of rock and roll and what became known as country rock. From www.allmusic.com, we see this article about country rock. Essentially, country rock is rock bands playing country music. It is country music informed by rock's counterculture ideals, as well as its reliance on loud amplification, prominent backbeat, and pop melodies. The first country rock bands, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Graham Parsons, the Byrds, Neil Young, played straight country as inspired by the Bakersfield sound of Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, as well as honky-tonkers like Hank Williams. As the genre moved into the 70s, the rougher edges were smoothed out as the Eagles, Poco, Pure Prairie League, and Linda Ronstadt made music that was smoother and more laid back. This became the predominant sound of country rock in the 70s. In the late 80s, a small group of alternative rock bands began to revive the Spartan sound of the original sound of Parsons and Young. The influences of rockabilly and later country rock are found in all genres of rock music throughout the world and up to the present. Here are some examples. Shakira, for example, is a current pop star from Colombia, South America, not South Carolina, South America. This song, Fool, is from her first album that was sung in English in 2001. The influence of country is unmistakable in this Latin rock song by this female artist.
You might swear you never touch a lady. Well, let me say you're not too far from maybe. Every day you find new ways to hurt me, but I can't help it if I'm just a fool, always having my heart set on you. Till the time you start changing the rules, I'll keep chasing the soles of your shoes.
Shakira from South America, her first album ever sung in English. Folk rock, as represented by such artists as Bob Dylan, also captures the essence of country music. Here is a tune from Dylan's from the year 2006. From his album, Modern Times, this was his 32nd studio album.
In the still of the night, in the world's ancient light, where wisdom grows up in strife, my bewildered brain toils in vain through the darkness on the pathways of life. Each invisible prayer is like a cloud in the air. Tomorrow keeps turning around. We live and we die, we know not why, but I'll be with you when the deal goes down.
Bob Dylan, When the Deal Goes Down. The more contemporary rock group Wilco also embraces the country influence. This group's from Chicago, and this song, Sky, Blue Sky, is the title track from their 2007 album.
The old buildings downtown, empty so long ago. Windows broken and dreaming. So happy to leave what was my home. With the sky, blue sky, time
Wilco, Sky Blue Sky. Later, we'll hear the clear influence of rockabilly and country music on the British invasion music of the 1960s. The Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Women from the year 1969 will close out today's program. But first, this review. In contemporary rock news, and in keeping with the theme country rock, we see this next article, a review of Taylor Swift's most recent album, Speak Now, published in RollingStone.com by Bob Sheffield on the 26th of October 2010. People like to fixate on Taylor Swift's youth, as if to say, yes, yeah, she's pretty good for her age, but that just begs the question. Where are all the older people who are supposedly making better pop records than Taylor Swift? There aren't any. In a mere 4 years, the 20-year-old Nashville firecracker has put her name on 36 or so of the smartest songs released by anyone in pop, rock, or country.
So this is me swallowing my pride, standing in front of you saying I'm sorry for that night. And I go back to December all the time. It turns out freedom ain't nothing but missing you, wishing I'd realized what I had in your mind. I go back to December, turn around and make it all.
There's a minimum of country schmaltz on Speak Now. Swift likes her tempos fast and her choruses rock size. Speak Now peaks with Long Live, a ridiculously over-the-top prom anthem with all the epic girl group swoon of the Ronettes or the Shirelles, plus a guitar hook from Def Leppard's Hysteria. Swift belts about how getting crowned king and queen is the most excellent event that could ever happen. It's a sort of prom song that could only come from an artist who chose to spend her high school years on a tour bus. Yet, when Swift sings it, damn if you don't believe every word.
And you look
cold came, the dark days when fear crept in.
This next article comes to us from Entertainment Weekly, published on the 21st of January, 2011. 2011 Preview Music. Also coming in 2011, Britney Spears. Count on lots of irresistible dance floor bangers. That's coming in March. And on the 12th of April, Paul Simon, So Beautiful or So What? He'll return to guitar-based pop on his first CD since 2006. Lady Gaga's coming out with a new one on the 23rd of May. Born This Way, her debut dominated the pop world. Can she top it? Gaga's already promised that it'll be the greatest album of this decade, so we're hoping yes. The Beastie Boys are coming out this spring sometime with Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. These hip-hop heroes are back in action after Arden MCA Yacht's health scare. Fleet Foxes are coming out this spring also with a new album. The Folk Rock Breakout's new disc is one of the year's most anticipated indie releases. Radiohead's coming out one to be announced this year. The British band has been working on its 8th LP off and on since 2009. And finally, Beyoncé's coming out with one to be announced this year, 2011. Collaborators are describing Queen Bee's latest as an up-tempo party album. This final article is an interview with Kid Rock, the rap rocker and friend of Nashville's, talks about hosting the Country Music Television Awards, which took place last June, and why his star-studded new album is a game-changer. This is written by Clark Collis, and it was published in Entertainment Weekly, June 2010. You wrote on your website that you intend to be awesome at the CMT Awards. Could you expand on that? That's called Kid Rock being a smartass. I'm really just going to have fun with it. It was something I never thought I'd be doing when I first set out in this musical journey. Do you have much hosting experience? I host awesome bonfires. Didn't you also host a Mardi Gras ball at the Superdome in New Orleans last year? Oh, yeah. But I just had to ride a float and get drunk. If that's all this requires, I'm going to be great. You've been working with Rick Rubin on your new album. What's the word on that? We've just finished it. I'm mixing way right now. There's a song with Martina McBride and T.I. There's a song with Zac Brown. I have another great duet with Sheryl Crow. With Bob Seger playing piano, it's a game changer for me. Totally different process working with Rick Rubin. With this album, we were sitting around playing and singing live. No click tracks. Kind of a crazy concept these days, but it's the way real records are made. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Question number one was, rock music's origins lie mostly in the music of Southerners, and many stars from the first wave of 50s rock and roll, such as Elvis, Little Richard, Bo Diddley, and Jerry Lee Lewis, hailed from the Deep South. Country rock has had a profound impact on almost all types of music, even heavy metal rock. The lead singer of AC/DC, Bon Scott, for example, wears rebel flag belt buckles at his concerts. Where does this heavy metal rock band, AC/DC, come from? Was it A, Texas? No. Alabama? No. California? No. Scotland? No. It was Australia. And John Fogerty is a member of one of the best-known southern rock bands. What's the name of his band, and where are they from? And that was Northern California. Once again, an indication of country rock's widespread influence. The name of the band was Creedence Clearwater Revival. We've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.